Today's message is about the subject of reconciliation. The Apostle Paul had many things to reveal about God's plan for mankind. He was given a responsibility to minister the truth of the gospel both to the nation of Israel and to the nations of the Gentiles. The truth of the gospel is that all men, both Jews and Gentiles, need to be reconciled to God through the cross of Jesus Christ. This is the truth of the gospel for all men. The scriptures I'm going to use in this study are from two different letters of Paul. I'm going to read them together so you can understand that they're of the same topic. I have found by reading Paul's letters in a progressive manner that I quite often have impressions when I'm reading one letter of something that he said in a previous letter, and I can put them together. And sometimes they give you a lot more information because you can see the train of thought in a progressive manner that way. And I have found by doing that, that you can quite often see how Paul's early idea is concluded later on in one of his other letters. And we all know that words are given to convey thoughts. So that is why when I give messages, I don't hesitate to do that if they're on the same topic. And that way you are, I think, a biblical way of understanding the thoughts of Scripture is to compare Scripture with Scripture, because ideas are ideas. And a thought that Paul had in an early letter, you can see the conclusion of it in his later letters by doing that. So going through all that, for the reason why I do that now in my studies, the lesson today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, and Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. These words are a summary of the ministry given to Paul, that men must reconcile to God, how men are reconciled, and that God is reconciling, and that there are men that are reconciled. The truth of reconciliation is the greatest teaching of Scripture. It is the purpose and the result of the gospel. Reconciliation has an effect on all men, believers and unbelievers. It is the most important truth of the Scripture. Reconciliation explains the need for faith in the gospel and gives the joy of the knowledge of accounts settled to those who are reconciled. The unbeliever who refuses the reconciliation of the gospel brings his sin to account before God. The burden of the guilt of sin, not reconciled, is carried with him in this life, and the payment of the accounts due determines his eternity. They face the wrath of an angry God. To the believer, the fact that God is presently reconciling him to the image of his Son gives him the knowledge that God is at work. Understanding that we are reconciled brings us the confidence of faith. The word reconcile means bringing again into unity or agreement. Today it is mostly known as a business term for the tallying of accounts or in the settling of an agreement of a debt. In Scripture, reconcile is used to describe the need for men to be reunited with God. The alienation between God and man is a result of man's sin against the authority of his Creator. For this reason, men have an account due before God that must be satisfied or brought to an agreement. Understanding how the word reconcile is used in Scripture reveals to the believer the action of the gospel in his life. Reconcile means the need to restore to harmony or friendship. Knowing that we must pay our debt to God for our sin begins the work of the gospel in men. Reconciling is the action involved in the restoration, the obedience of Christ in the work of the gospel. Reconciled is the final state of the completed transaction. These three words also tell us the way the gospel works upon men. Reconcile explains the need of all men to be restored to fellowship with God. It is the reason God sent His Son to die for sinners. All men need to be reconciled. Reconciling explains the method in which men are to be restored. Faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is God's way of reconciling men to Himself. It also tells us of the continuing action of God in our lives, bringing us into the image of His Son. Reconciled is the understanding of men who have had the action of faith in their lives through the gospel. To the believer, these three words demonstrate the action of the gospel in his life, past, present, and future. First of all, he has been brought to understand his need to be restored to God. He must reconcile. This is the past of the believer. Reconciling is a present struggle of faith as the gospel is working in his life. The believer sees the struggle in his life between his old and new natures. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Reconciled is in the present the peace of God that belongs to all men of faith. This is the peace of God beyond understanding. Reconciled in the future is the blessings God has in eternity for all who believe. These things are the result of the completed work of Christ on behalf of the believer. The truth of reconciliation is the reason for the revealed truth of God. The Scriptures are a record of God's plan, providing a means to restore mankind to fellowship with His Creator. Today, men are reconciled to God through the work of the gospel. Shortly after the fall of mankind, we find the promise of a way for men to be reconciled to God. This promise follows the pronouncement of judgment upon Satan for his deception of the woman. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 15 through 24, the Lord speaks directly to Satan, then to the woman, and to the man last. In this passage, we find an eternal curse given to Satan and the promise of life given to the man and the woman with these words: "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul explains that men are reconciled through the seed of the woman who was deceived, not through the man who willfully chose to disobey his Creator. He says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. For if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." In this verse, we can see the work of the gospel in reconciling men to God. First, the need to reconcile through the gospel is seen because the transgression began in the willful disobedience of Adam. For Adam was first formed. Then the way to reconcile to God is provided through Eve. Eve, which means the mother of all living. Because she would provide a seed for men to reconcile to God, she shall be saved in childbearing. It is through the son born of woman that men are saved. The action of the gospel in the life of those who are reconciled is seen in the pursuit of godliness in their lives. Continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Sobriety means a sober mind. The future promise of the gospel is that they shall be saved as a result of the provision of God and the one born of Eve, the mother of all living. The term reconcile is not mentioned early in the revelation of the plan of God, yet providing for the reconciliation of man was in the mind of God. The way for men to reconcile to God is first pictured in types and shadows through the practice of animal sacrifice in the Old Testament. The book of Leviticus contains the laws of God about the means of sacrifice for his people in order to atone for their sins. These sacrifices were to be performed by the descendants of Levi, who were the priests of Israel. As all men are, they also were guilty of sin before God and needed to be reconciled. In Leviticus, the people and the priests were to identify with the different sacrifices offered for the atonement of their sins by placing their hands upon the sacrifice before it passed through the fire of the Lord. This fire came down from God and consumed the sacrifice. It was not kindled through the works of men. In the Old Testament, any acceptable sacrifice offered up to God for the reconciliation of men has these three things in common. The first thing was that God provides the sacrifice, for all things come from God. The truth of the sacrifice for reconciliation was realized by Abraham in early Genesis as he prepared to offer God his only son, Isaac. Abraham understood that God would somehow keep the promise God had given to him and not take away his son, Isaac. These are his words of faith. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. As many of us know, animals cannot be grown through the labors of men like plants are, especially since there's some ex-farmers in here, we know that. Any animal sacrifice is not the result of the labors of men. As you remember, Cain offered a sacrifice of the fruits of the ground, representing the works of his hands, and this was unacceptable to God. The second commonality is that God accepts the sacrifice. On the altar of God, fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, meaning that the sacrifice was acceptable to God. The man offering the sacrifice was reconciled temporarily, for sacrifices of animals were continually being offered to God. And the third thing was that men identify with the sacrifice. In the Old Testament, men had to place their hands on the animal to be offered to God for these reasons. One was that this symbolized this animal alone was offered to atone for the sins of this particular man. This man understood that he could not reconcile to God without the payment of sacrifice. This is a picture of the gospel today. For only knowing that Christ died for the sins of men will not save a man. It is only when a man understands that Christ died for his sins and he identifies with his sacrifice that a man is reconciled to God. The system of animal sacrifice was given to Israel, a people separated for service to God from all other nations on the earth. Their system of animal sacrifice is a picture of the universal need of all men, the need to reconcile to God. Today, what was pictured in the Old Testament sacrifice for man's redemption is fulfilled through the truth of the gospel. All men must identify with the death of Christ through faith to be reconciled to God. Part of the task given to Paul was to break down the old ways of animal sacrifice given to Israel and bring the hope of the gospel to all men, Jew and Gentile. This is only done through the unity of faith in the gospel. Paul uses the universal need of all men to reconcile to God as the common ground to bring the message of the gospel to men. Consider these words of Paul. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. For if, when we are enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The old things would be the old Jewish system. The things that are become new is the work of the gospel in reconciling all men to God in Christ. The new creature is the man who understands that he is reconciled to God through the gospel, that God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, was the truth that Paul was to preach, that the mercy of God is still available to all men through the gospel. The death of Christ was the sacrifice that ensured the reconciliation of God to those identified with him. Paul gave these words to the Corinthians. They concern the method by which all men can be reconciled to God. But we preach Christ crucified. Men who have faith in the gospel reconciled to God through the death of Christ. This sacrifice does not need to be offered again and again, like the animal sacrifice of the Old Testament. Paul reminded Hebrews of this. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The first would be the system of in the Old Testament of the sacrifice of animals. The second would be the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, for the sins of men. God continues the work of reconciliation by giving men identified with the death of Christ proof that this sacrifice is accepted with him. This is the seal of the Spirit of God. Think about the seal in this way. On our farm, we grow sunflowers. We have an agreement with retail stores to deliver them for sale at the receiving departments of the stores. When we have accomplished this, we get our papers stamped with a seal indicating that they have been accepted. And from now on, the flowers are the responsibility of the store. We have met our agreement, and they have given us their seal of approval. The work of God in reconciling men to himself is similar to this in many ways. For once the sacrifice of Christ for our sins is accepted, we are given the stamp or seal of God's approval on our lives. This is the promise of the indwelling of the Spirit of God in our hearts. Paul gave this example about the seal of God to believers from the life of Abraham. These words are from Romans and Galatians. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we, Jews and Gentiles, might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The believer who is reconciled to God through faith in the gospel is like Abraham of old, because he believed God at his word and acted upon it. God gives the believer the promise of the Spirit through faith to continue the work of the gospel. God has already begun in his life. Paul reminded the Ephesians of this in Ephesians chapter 2. that ye should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye believed, ye are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. As believers reconciled to God, we receive many things to help us in our walk of faith from the Spirit of God. These things are proof that God is working at work, reconciling our hearts to become conformed to the image of His Son, whose Spirit lives in our hearts. Paul reminds us of this in Romans. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is our ongoing duty to serve God continually, bringing our lives into what is acceptable to Him. We are able to do this because of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Things we have been given from the Spirit are what separate us unto the service of God. Men who have not been reconciled to God by the death of Christ do not have these things in their lives. Here are some of them. First one is the Spirit of God gives us the ability to understand the truth of the Word of God. God has given us the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. It is the Spirit of God that delivers us from the power of sin. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. The Spirit of God indwelling our hearts gives us the fellowship of the Spirit of God in our lives. Romans chapter 8. Verse 16. From the Spirit, we have the knowledge of heavenly things. Romans 15, 13 and 14. And Colossians 1, verse 10. The fifth thing, we are united in spirit to those of like faith. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 7. The sixth thing, we have the knowledge of the new man created in the image of Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. There may be other ones. These are the main six that I thought of, things that I have as a believer that are not had by unbelievers. Remember, men are not reconciled to God, do not have the promise of the Spirit, and cannot have these things at work in their lives. Paul summed it up this way in 1 Timothy. But thou, O man of God, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. The message given to Paul to proclaim to men was that men must reconcile to God. We first read of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Throughout the years of his ministry, Paul continued to reveal truth about how God was reconciling men to himself through the work of the gospel. As Paul neared the end of his life, he received the concluding revelation about God's work of the reconciliation of men. This truth is only found in his last letters, which are the prison epistles. This is the promise of God to the man who understands that he is reconciled to God, and the Spirit of God is at work in his life. Paul began to realize that he is completely identified with Christ through faith in the gospel. He understood that he died with Christ on the cross and was reconciled to God through the body of Christ's death. He knew that God had put his seal of approval on him when he was as one reconciled. As he neared the end of his life, God revealed to him that like he was identified with the death of Christ, he also was identified with the resurrection of Christ. He began to understand and to look on his life as a man raised up into heavenly places. He describes it this way to his fellow believers. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Paul, as a believer, he understood he was reconciled through the cross of Christ, and that the blood of the sacrifice of Christ for his sins was sufficient to reconcile his accounts with God. He saw himself as a man who was once dead in his sins, now made alive in the resurrection of his Lord. He understood that the revelation of this new man in Christ was the fulfillment of the message he had been given to proclaim. What he understood as his calling in 2 Corinthians, he now saw finished in Colossians. Consider these words. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. God revealed to Paul the truth that God had reconciled men completely through the gospel as individuals, personally identified with Christ. This created the new man, declared perfect in Christ Jesus. This truth of the new man was given to Paul to proclaim so that other men called of God could come to see this truth. Paul began to understand that God would gather those of like faith together who had been created in the image of his Son. He described it this way in Colossians. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul had completed the revelation God had given him to reveal that what he first had written about in 2 Corinthians. He had come to understand that he and others of like faith were reconciled completely with God, were now risen into heavenly places in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, I will leave you with this thought. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.